The kingdom of God is something that Old Testament people waited on. They just didn't know what they were waiting for. They knew there was a kingdom coming. They just didn't know what it was exactly. And you really never even know until Jesus gets here. And then the apostles begin to explain things till the Holy Ghost comes. You can't even really understand the kingdom of God. So in the Old Testament, it's never said. The term kingdom of God is never used in the Old Testament. The only thing in the Old Testament was kingdom of David, kingdom of Israel, kingdom. We knew that there was going to be a kingdom that the Messiah was going to bring somehow, but it was never called the kingdom of God nor the kingdom of heaven in the way that we know it now. And so it takes a little learning. It was a mystery. The whole kingdom of God was a mystery. And so we need to learn it. Like when you get into the kingdom of God, there's an operation of stuff that you need to understand.
Right.
I mean, it goes from the top to the bottom, all the way from the greatest revelation of God's word, all the way to somebody on the floor that fell. The kingdom of God is big, and there's a lot to it. So we're going to talk about just the four aspects. Number one, how do you get into the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. He said, if you're not born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So to enter the kingdom and to see the kingdom, you must be born again. That means your spirit must come alive unto God. You must receive Jesus so that you can awaken to the reality of God is here. God is in me. God is here. I'm in a new place. It's one thing to stand outside of a building and look through the window and say, wow, those people in there are kind of weird. Why are they pom-pomming? Why are they running around? Why are they dancing? Why are they so happy? What? It's one thing to look in from the glass. It's another to go in.
Right.
And so a lot of people see Christians on the outside and they can't understand it. Why would those people want to get up on Sunday mornings and go to church every single? I just don't understand. You don't got to go to church every week, do you? They don't understand because they're only on the outside. Until you awaken to God and come in, you'll never understand. The only way to see the kingdom, enter the kingdom, understand the kingdom of God is if you get born again. You got to receive Jesus, let your spirit man awaken to God. So you must have a change of heart. Our heart must awaken to the Lord. Basically, it's to acknowledge the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender your will to Him.
Right.
So this whole idea is that we have surrendered to God's rule in my heart.
Amen.
Rather than me, I'm surrendered. And so you recall that in the Bible it says Joseph of Arimathea, who waited for the kingdom of God, he went and asked Pilate for Jesus' body. So that term, waited for the kingdom of God. The sincere Jews were waiting for the kingdom of God. Now, they didn't know what it was. They thought it was take over the land, rule the world kingdom. That's later. But they were waiting for the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and telling people to repent, for the kingdom of God or of heaven is at hand.
Right.
And so the repentance is part of getting into the kingdom of God. You got to turn away from where you were headed, go enter the kingdom of God. Those are very necessary to get in here. Who gets in here? Who gets in here? Those who believe in Jesus Christ, and that's it. The tax collectors and the sinners got to come into the kingdom. And Jesus told the great religious Israelites who weren't sincere, he said, the kingdom's going to be taken away from you and given to a people that will bear the fruits of it. And that's why you see that believers in Christ, non-Jewish people, have the kingdom. Jewish people that he actually came for don't, unless they receive Jesus Christ. So the only people that get in the kingdom are those that receive Jesus Christ. So what does the kingdom feel like? What does the kingdom feel like? Well, it feels like righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let's read Luke 16 real quick. Luke 16, verse 16. The law, you there? Luke 16, 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone's pressing into it. So just notice that all the way up until John the Baptist, the law and the prophets were the emphasis. Now the kingdom of God has been preached. Since then, the kingdom of God has been preached. We're supposed to press into it. What does that mean? That means there's a whole new emphasis of a whole new set of spiritual ingredients or criteria that we have now that they didn't have then. That's why we don't harp on the law of Moses. That's why We don't preach the prophets. You can use the law a little bit. You can use the prophets a little bit to prove New Testament themes or to convince people of the Messiah that he actually did fulfill all the prophecies of the Old Testament. But we don't preach the law and the prophets. We don't want to sound like the Old Testament prophets. We're not preaching like Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. We're not coming with divine rebuke and threat for a nation or for an entire church. Prophets today aren't given to the entire church to give a message to the entire church like Moses the prophet was. So today prophets are way different. The law and the prophets were until John. Now prophets hold a different place in the body of Christ than they did in the Old Testament. Not given to a nation, given to the church. And so that's a big difference. But in that, you find the apostles explain what this kingdom's all about. Jesus said the kingdom's here. John the Baptist said the kingdom's coming. Jesus said the kingdom's here. And then he said, don't look around for the kingdom because it's in you. The kingdom is not out there. You can't turn on the news and see the kingdom of God. You can't walk down the street and see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. How do you know? Because you feel it. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not food and drink, not outward things that appeal to you or not, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He that serves God in these things is acceptable. Righteousness, peace, and joy. What is that? Well, that's something that you need. Amen. Whether you know it or not, you need it. Righteousness is this that all the sons of God are accepted by him.
Hallelujah.
They didn't have that in the Old Testament. There was a whole lot of rigmarole, rules to follow in order to be partly righteous, but only now can we be fully righteous and accepted by God. You got to know that. And that's why we really spent a lot of time explaining righteousness by faith alone so you can know who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to live with condemnation and sin consciousness, all those things that drag you down. You can know that you're a son of God, daughter of God. You're in him. You're in Christ. So you have to know that you're righteous. The Bible says that in the Old Testament, Psalm 85:10 or so, says that mercy and truth are met together. Meaning if you learn the truth, you'll find God's mercy. And then it says righteousness and peace have kissed. Righteousness and peace have kissed. What does that mean? It means when the moment you begin to know that you're right with God, you'll have peace in your heart. The moment that you start feeling accepted by God, you'll find peace that passes all understanding. Not until. We don't get peace by praying for peace. We get peace because we learn how righteous we are. We enter the kingdom. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The next one is joy. Joy comes through believing. Joy comes through understanding the Word of God. In Nehemiah 8, it says they read the law that they had lost and caused them to understand the reading, and the people rejoiced with great joy. That's the chapter it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you can start understanding God's Word better, you'll have joy in your heart every day. You won't have to wait until Friday to have joy if you'll just learn the Bible. If you get some revelation in your heart, you'll start finding joy. When you understand the Bible, each time you understand the Bible, each new concept of God that you understand, that makes you happy. Because understanding God's Word helps you eliminate all those question marks about God and religion and people and what they said and what they said and what they said, what I grew up with, and how do you know who's right, and blah, 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 blah. You learn the Bible, you get understanding, and it's like, I'm in. In what? I'm in the kingdom. I'm strong now because I understand my God. I don't have to walk confused, because anytime you walk around confused, your faith leaks out. You're not where you need to be. If you don't understand things about how to receive joy from the Holy Spirit, your faith will leak out a little bit. If you don't understand healing, your faith will leak out a little bit. If you don't understand how to walk in love, your faith will leak out. Anything you can learn of God that's true, you'll have strong faith and you'll be happy. So those are the elements of within us. It feels good. In Romans 15, it says, now may the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. By believing, you can partake of peace and joy and hope. If you'll believe the right thing, you'll have hope for the future. It solves your crisis for this week. Many times people are just simply sad because they've lost hope. Come on, if you'll believe God, you'll have hope again. Glory. One scripture says, though you don't see him now, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unthinkable or unexplainable and full of glory. What does the kingdom of God look like? Turn with me to, we're in Luke. Go back to Luke 9. I appreciate y'all listening fast. I think we're getting somewhere. You know, those who are really committed to the Lord can listen fast. Oh, okay. So what does the kingdom look like? Well, it's in this, so you can't really see it. But what does it look like on the outside? And here's what it looks like on the outside. It looks like power. When the kingdom of God comes, it looks like power. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, Matthew said, by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. So one way that you know the kingdom is here is that people on the earth have power. Yeah, they do. Power to heal the sick, power to cast out demons, power to cause some good things to happen, power to work miracles, power to hear from God, power to prophesy the words from heaven. Because we have power, we know the kingdom is here. Luke chapter 9, this was always the plan. Luke chapter 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Notice that he sent them to heal the sick and to preach the kingdom of God. So there's a message about this, that the gospel message is kingdom of God related. We have to learn what that is so we can preach properly. We're not coming at people with the Ten Commandments. We're not coming at people with how bad they are and how wrong they are and how they better. That's not the gospel. It's different. It's preached differently, and it comes with healing power. It comes with delivering power. It comes with, I can help fix whatever's broken in your life because Jesus paid for that. And so that's the message you and I take as personal witnesses out at the workplace. We go out there with the message of the kingdom of God and to heal the sick because we can cure diseases and we can heal the sick. Isn't that exciting? And so if you'll just take a step and do it, you'll find that out there it's easy. It's in here with the religious heads. No, I'm sorry. Out there it's easy. People don't know anything and it's easy to get them healed. We were just in Uganda. We did this street outreach and preached the gospel. A bunch of people got saved. Then we called them over to get in line to be healed. And I prayed one after the other. And each one, the power of God touched them and they were healed. The next one they were healed. It's like, wow, I could sense the power of God each time. And they were delivered, you know, some from minor things, but I could sense that they were changed. They could tell they were changed. Hallelujah. And this went on 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I mean, like 20 people got healed in a row. And then maybe it skipped one and I didn't sense that they got anything. And then the next 20 got healed, just one after the other, right in the streets of Uganda. What's that? That's Jesus Christ taking care of people. That's Jesus Christ saving souls, healing bodies, just like he did here. And so they, verse 6, they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So that whole idea of the kingdom of God must be preached and it must be demonstrated. And that's what you and I can do in church and we can do it out of church. And God's needing us to be out there telling people the truth, offering them salvation and offering them healing. And offering the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're bringing the kingdom to the world. If you want to change this world, you better go bring the kingdom to it. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Paul said, I don't want to come hear what you're saying. I want to see if you got any power. That's how you know the kingdom is present. It's because there's power. And it's up to us to connect to that. Learn how to connect to the power within us by faith and just allow God to move through us. That's really all it is. Praying for the sick is just about you having faith that the kingdom is in you, the power is in you, and just allowing the power of God to go touch people. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 10. Some people think, yeah, that was the special 12. Luke 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place. 70 more people. Of course, you see in Mark 16, he told every disciple to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Every disciple to preach the gospel to every creature. Every disciple that they can speak in tongues. Every disciple that they can cast out demons. Verse 9, and heal the sick there. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. When the sick person is healed, it's proof that the kingdom has come. It's not just a tagline. It's not just something we say. It's a spiritual atmosphere. It's a kingdom where there's a king in this kingdom of God. Jesus is the king in this kingdom. There's rulership in this kingdom. There's a constitution in this kingdom. There are elements of instruction in this. There's a means and way by which it operates in this kingdom of God.
That's true.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go to the book of Acts with me. Just go to the book of Acts. We've already quoted the one. Jesus said, don't be looking here, don't be looking there for the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you.
Right.
It's within you. So don't think that the kingdom is out there to fix the city of Houston. The only way the kingdom can fix the city of Houston is get in the hearts of men. So our gospel mandate is to take this word of God and preach it so people can get the kingdom inside them. And then you have a chance in whatever land you live in to help it. But this is where some people get sidetracked a little bit. Did I say go to Acts? Acts chapter 1. Remember, Jesus said this when he was getting arrested. Peter chopped off the fellow's ear. Jesus, like, whoa, let me put that ear back on. He said, we're not fighting right now. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, we'd fight. My servants would fight, but my kingdom's not of this world. Put your sword up. What he was saying is his first coming, the kingdom was not to fix the world. His first coming was not to fix the Roman government. His first coming was not to take over and rule the land. That's his second coming. And so you have to keep these separate. This is what the Jews missed. The Jews all throughout the Old Testament was waiting for another king on a throne to save the nation of Israel from its troubles. That's what they waited for. So that's why most of them missed the first coming of the Messiah, because he did not come with a physical kingdom. He came only with a spiritual kingdom.
Amen.
So the very first phase of the kingdom of God was Jesus in the earth. The second phase of the kingdom was the church in the earth, the invisible kingdom within us. The third phase of the kingdom of God is Jesus coming back to set up rulership over the entire world. That's later, it's not yet, so don't skip. If you try to skip to ruling the world right now, even using your authority, if you try to skip it, you're going to miss out on the church and the glory and the kingdom of God that's been commanded to be preached. I see you're very enthusiastic about that. You're thinking, cupcake, what color? What's it going to taste like? Acts chapter 1 here. Acts chapter 1. Okay, this is Luke's account, Jesus' final words. He's about to ascend to heaven. And he says, verse 3, to whom he, Jesus, also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Notice it, he talked a lot about the kingdom of God. We need to also. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So here he is predicting this very holy thing that's about to happen to the human race. First to the disciples, then everybody else. Very holy thing where humans can have power. We take it for granted sometimes. Some people still don't believe it. But where humans can actually have power, that's very holy. That was God's ultimate dream. And therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still missing it. I've always been amazed. They're still missing it. They're still thinking, fix my nation, please. They're still missing it. After all this time with Jesus, 3.5 years of casting devils out and healing the sick and hearing the real gospel preached about how people have to live from within, that it's all about going inward into the heart, that out of the heart comes everything. Out of all of that, they're still looking around at their nation. What are you going to restore? When are you going to get rid of the Romans? Get rid of the Romans. When are you going to get rid of the Romans? Verse 7, he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father's put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You'll be witnesses to me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the end of the earth. Notice he just kind of sidestepped their question. And we don't know exactly when that part of the kingdom's coming. But right now, focus on what's important, which is Holy Spirit power, you being witnesses, you telling everybody, you being a witness. You got to tell everybody. You got to be a witness. Everybody in here that's filled with the Holy Spirit, you got to be a witness. You got to tell them. You got to tell somebody. You got to lead others. I know nobody likes to hear that. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to do something. I thought I just had to watch the news and pray. If you're more interested in saving America than you are saving the next sinner down the street, you need to revisit the Great Commission. So you know that, right? You understand that. If you read the Bible, that is the kingdom of God. And so I only mention it every other service or 10. Hallelujah. Well, thank God that the disciples were faithful here. Go to Acts chapter 8. We're almost done. Acts chapter 8, this is after the persecution. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, verse 5, preached Christ to them. The multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. There was great joy in that city. Skip to verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Just wanted you to see he was preaching the kingdom of God. When you preach the kingdom of God, power comes. If you'll preach the sincere, pure kingdom of God, you'll get some power on the scene. Power to help, power to deliver. Preach the words of Christ, preach the new covenant, and you'll see that the kingdom of God is coming to pass for people. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, this is our final phase here. So we've answered a few questions about the kingdom. Now, how does it operate? How does the kingdom of God operate? What's the constitution of this kingdom of God? Romans chapter 10 will show you something, but first let me remind you of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. That's where Jesus said, if you know this parable, you'll know all the parables. That the sower sows the word. So the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day. And he knows not how, but the seed sprouts. And then it grows up. And then first the blade, then the head, and then the full corn in the head. And then he puts in the sickle and he gets his harvest. So the kingdom of God operates this way. And if you understand this aspect of the kingdom, you can catch every other aspect of the kingdom. That the kingdom of God requires you and I to get the word and then say the word. Get the word in our heart, say the word. Get the word and then speak the word into the kingdom of God where it can grow. And this is where humans actually find that they have supernatural power. Power to set the course for their life. That with the tongue you set on fire the course of nature. You can burn it good, you can burn it bad. This is where words have power. This is where the Christian needs to realize, oh, the way I operate in the kingdom of God is I believe the right thing and I say the right thing. And until I believe the right thing and say the right thing, no amount of praying is going to change the thing. Sometimes prayer is all you need. Most of the time, you're going to have to do some other things. Even with prayer, you got to learn the word. You got to understand a promise, believe a promise, and pray that promise. But look at Romans 10. This will give you the quick visual of the secret to miracles. The secret to miracles. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But notice these principles here, that if you believe in your heart, something very particular, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Today, if anybody in here believes in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and then says it out of their mouth, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. Or just say, Lord Jesus. Anybody here that does that can be saved right now. Very easy. This is how the kingdom operates. The kingdom does not operate with outward show. The kingdom of God, even though we had a lot of fun stuff up here today, this was not religious. This was not trying to do something spiritual for us. This was just to celebrate. Candle lighting, water spritzing, glow sticks in the name of something, I don't know. None of that religious order does anything. But believing in your heart and saying something out of your mouth does. And so notice verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith that we speak or preach. So this whole idea of the kingdom of God operates with the word in your heart and the word in your mouth. Where's the word? It's right there in your heart and it's right there in your mouth. Where's the word? Right there in your heart, right there in your mouth. How do you get saved? Right there in your heart and out of your mouth. How does the greatest miracle in the world happen? You believe something in your heart and you say it with your mouth and then, wow, I got saved. Not because I followed 13 years of these things, but because I believed it in my heart and said it with my mouth and therefore I'm saved. That's how all miracles can happen for you. If you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. If you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, this is how the kingdom operates. And if you can learn this parable, you'll learn all the parables. If you can understand this principle of God and his kingdom, you can understand everything and you can start seeing God move in your life. And that means I take a scripture, I believe it, I say it a few times, I expect it. That means if it says he will uphold me in my integrity, I say, okay, I'm going to be full of integrity and he'll uphold me. That means if I commit my way to the Lord, he'll bring it to pass. That means that if I walk in love, he'll make sure that Satan's off my back. If you walk in love, Satan has no right to be on your back. If you'll forgive, you'll leave no open door for the devil. So you read scripture this way, where if I find a promise that I can believe God for, he'll answer me. That if I go to Matthew 6, don't worry. Okay, if I don't worry, he'll take care of my finances. If I do worry, he won't. Simple, simple scriptures. That if you take them, believe them, and say them, and expect them, God will answer every single one of them. This is how the kingdom of God operates. That if you will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. They'll start recovering. Just take a simple truth. Believe it, say it, act upon it, expect it, and watch God bring it to pass. That's how the kingdom of God operates. And that's why every one of us can partake of this kingdom. It was God's ultimate dream and ultimate plan that every one of us can work miracles. We don't have to run around looking for Jeremiah somewhere. Well, I heard there was a prophet, you know, over in the other land. Go see if they can work a miracle for us. You can all work miracles from the comfort of your own home. You can even work miracles from the comfort of your own home while the TV is going.
Wow.
Now, sometimes you might want to turn the TV off, sure. But listen, the kingdom of God does not need all of these outward things to be perfect before God will answer a prayer. He just needs somebody to believe it in their heart and say it with their mouth. Teenagers can set their future. You young folks, you can have a great life ahead of you if you'll believe the right thing in your heart, start saying it with your mouth. Learn God's word, get some understanding, say it with your mouth. It'll come to pass for you. So that's the kingdom of God. Is everybody in it? Hallelujah! It's worth everything. It's worth everything. It's worth Jesus dying on the cross. It's worth his son. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom, we're to seek first the kingdom. You know, as I was sitting there listening to Pastor preach on the kingdom, the Lord said this to me. He said that the kingdom of God is anchored in his faithfulness. So that's why you need to understand, when you get that word in you, when you're operating by the kingdom, you got that word in you and you're saying that word, that's anchored by God's faithfulness. God's going to hear it and God's going to act on it. And he said that his kingdom is thrust by his goodness. We can always count on God to be good. God is always good. He never varies. We never have to worry about that. We never have to. He's always good. And it's his goodness. It's that goodness of him, that loving kindness of him that draws us to him. So when we're operating in the kingdom of God, we should expect always God's faithfulness and God's goodness in our lives. We should expect that. We should get up every day. Today I'll see the faithfulness of God. I know the faithfulness of God. Today I'm going to see the goodness of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.